DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
I did something this past weekend. I had a close encounter of the bully kind, a close encounter with the big guy, an encounter with the Ryback, and let me tell you how it went. I was sitting in the back reading my textbooks, working on my PhD, educating myself, and he walked up, ripped the glasses off my face, and crushed them in his hand, laughed, and walked away. Now, I know I might be a new face on the block, Ryback, but it looks like Xavier Woods is going to have to tell you that it's not okay to be a bully. Be a star. Now, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No. Greg, I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Someone sneaky? You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd. Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, they come off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco, with Patrick O'Dowd, and with Heather Lynn this week. What's up, guys? Hopefully, everybody's on there.
I'm here.
As you put down your drink before you speak, yes, that would be a good way to start. Good way to start. Did we lose Heather already? That would be a record if we lost Heather already.
No, you didn't hang up on me for once.
Beautiful. No, I did not hang up on you for once. We are jumping right out of the gate this week on the Greg DeMarco Show. We do have the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, coming up in about 30 minutes. She will be taking your calls, so get those ready, as it will be lots and lots of good fun. We also have a good friend of mine, Don Vitale, coming in for just a few minutes to talk about his match against the Almighty Sheik this Thursday at Slam U Pro Wrestling. But we are very privileged to kick off the show in a big way. As everybody knows, Ring of Honor and an opportunity this Friday night to show Death Before Dishonor for free via internet pay-per-view. Very excited about that. I was able to watch the program, enjoyed it thoroughly, and of course there were a few issues, and I think there's a lot of things about this broadcast that people don't know, and just how great it was that they were able to do it on such short notice. And we're lucky enough to have with us to discuss that broadcast the CEO of Ring of Honor himself. So Patrick O'Dowd, the first ever guest we had on this program was, of course, the former owner of Ring of Honor, Kerry Silken, nearly 3 years ago,
yeah.
And now we're lucky enough to bring in the current CEO of Ring of Honor, and that is Mr. Joe Koff. Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
Well, thank you, Greg, for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be on your program.
Oh, anytime. We're super excited to have you on the show, especially on such short notice, but with what was a big weekend for the company. Obviously, what everybody's talking about right now is the free stream of Death Before Dishonor 11 that took place this past Friday night. How did this materialize for you guys?
Well, you know, as you know, since we've taken over the company, which is well over 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
the internet pay-per-views have been very, very much an important part of presenting our product to a wider audience. We began our relationship with GoFight Live, and you know, we had our ups and downs at that time, and they're a tremendous vendor, and I'm not even sure that it's entirely them or us. But you know, you're dealing with a technology that's very, very difficult, and we had a ton of people on Friday night, and we've also had tons of people in prior pay-per-views. And you know, Greg, it's an inexact science, but at the same token, I think there's an expectation from the fan, whether they're paying $14.99 or they're getting it free, to get a complete program without incident. We decided after we took on the projects ourselves with shows from Toronto mm-hmm. and New York, and we had the same similar situations with technical difficulties on our end, on the receiver end, and it became a situation where I decided that I'd rather present a clean program, even if it was a little bit delayed or on demand, than go through this where the fan is just not enjoying the experience of Ring of Honor. And if you watch the show and you saw most of it without incident on Friday night, you know, experience Ring of Honor in a live setting is probably the greatest gift we can give to the wrestling fan. And for those of your listeners who haven't really experienced Ring of Honor, I encourage you to go to our website, www.rohwrestling.com, sign up to become a member, and take advantage of the videos and the TV programs that we air every week, because there is no doubt in my mind, and I've been involved with wrestling and associated with it as a viewer since I was a child and certainly now in the business with it, there's nothing more exciting than Ring of Honor wrestling. The level of action, the level of expectation, the chanting in Philadelphia, I don't know whether you could have heard it, Greg, on the stream, was so spontaneous, was so loud. These fans just experienced a night of spectacular, spectacular action. So we wanted to, so GFL, Dave Klarman, who's a wonderful man, said, let's try this again. And, of course, we didn't want to start charging without knowing we could deliver the product. And he said, I'm willing to do this for free for you guys because you were a valued customer before, and he wanted to show us that we could get through a stream relatively unscathed. And we agreed. So that's why it came down so late, and we thought it would be fantastic crowning the new champion. Again, for your fans who aren't aware of it, when Jay Briscoe got injured, Nigel McGuinness vacated the title, and we've had a tournament for the last 3 months leading up to Friday night's finals, which was Adam Cole and Michael Elgin in just an amazing, amazing final match. So that's kind of the story.
So just to clarify, make sure people know. So GoFight Live came to you guys. Like this was, they were like, let's try this again, and let's see if this would work out.
Yeah.
Excellent. So did you kind of look at this as a test, so to speak, like as sort of testing this out to see if it can work again?
Well, we knew that we weren't, you know, again, we don't have the capabilities to, I mean, we should, but we don't at the moment to deliver, you know, to deliver a product. So we went back to the people who are doing this for a living.
Right.
And this is their business. And, you know, like I said, David Klarman, fine man, fine gentleman, intentions, everything. And like I said, we almost had a flawless feed, but I understand that some people had difficulties during the show and lost the feed at some point. And it's just a very frustrating thing, Greg, because, A, we want to present the continuity of the show, but, you know, there's a lot of issues that happen, not on our end, but on the home end, whether it's the cash filling up, whether it's your connection or the service that you get, that if there's a lot of streaming going on, sometimes they slow it up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff that's out of our control, yet we seem to bear the brunt of everything that happens with that. And quite frankly, it just detracts from everything we're doing.
Now, I understand that other promotions, when they've used the Philadelphia National Guard Armory, haven't been able to use the Armory's internet line. Did you have to bring in an outside line for this event?
We did. We did. We brought in our own line. I mean, GFL did everything they were supposed to do to ensure this stream. And like I said, I don't know what goes on inside of the wires or inside that internet world. But, you know, I would say, 95% of the program was delivered cleanly? I guess. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. We did, you know, we monitored the tweeting and the Facebook post. And it was minimal, but it was there. So, I was in the arena. I was ringside for the final match as a judge. And if anybody's ever seen me at a Ring of Honor event, you know that I'm in the stands with the fans because that's where I like to watch the show.
Now, you mentioned following some stuff on social media, and at Go Fight Live, actually, we were in contact with them as well, and they informed us that it seemed like one of the issues was that the stream issues were related to a record number of users on their site on that Friday night. Do you see a viable future for ROH producing pay-per-views with Go Fight Live?
Viable future? I would like to continue to explore their relationship. I mean, I think that, you know, we have to be able to be prepared to take as many people. Look, I want to expose the product. I really do. I want Go Fight Live to be able to be, to have a money-making proposition. Of all the shows that they produce, we're the biggest that they do. So we did have a record number. I was told at one point it was in the thousands. So that's a lot of users coming on. I wish I was more technically savvy to answer your questions more directly. I don't have an answer, but I definitely would want to keep exploring the relationship.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. And they did inform me. They let me know it was records, and I know that, you know, previously there were reports that there were over 2,000 users that had purchased on GoFight Live before. So I can only imagine how many.
We've had that in the past. I remember Showdown in the Sun, which was done in Fort Lauderdale 2 years ago, was way up there for buys. And that was we had all kinds of difficulty with that, including a blackout in the building.
Right.
But, you know, the fans don't care. I mean, I don't blame it. If you're buying a product and you're a consumer, you know, I think we have to understand that. And it's interesting that, you know, I can't believe that even when I use my computer at work, you know, things freeze and YouTube's freeze and stuff like that. But again, I think the expectation is so great, and people are planning that evening or planning that time to be entertained by a wrestling product. I guess the minute there's any kind of technical, it becomes annoying, and then everybody jumps on the, you know, the haters start, and then everyone jumps on that. So
you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Going into this event, I mean, you had to know that there was a good chance, or at least a chance, that it could go down like that.
We did, but again, I, you know, David Klarman, again, I can't say enough about him. He said, let us try it. And you know, I'm always going to do things that benefits the fan, even at the cost of the barrage sometimes that I take from the fans about doing this. But, you know, our goal is to present our product to as wide an audience as we possibly can, and this allows us to do it. I mean, our TV show does a great job, but we're not in 100% of the country yet. So this is a good way to get that product down. But quite frankly, I have to tell you, Greg, in all honesty, because I see the VODs, we have them up. We have the replays up now between 36 and 48 hours after the event. And they're clean, they're good, they're nice. And well worth the wait, because even though you might know the result, you don't know what happened in the ring during the match. And that's what we're all about. We're all about the performance and the work and what's going on in the ring. So, you know, the fans will be satisfied. We'd like to do it live, but if we can't do it live, we'd rather give them a good product that we can be proud of and that they can enjoy without any kind of criticism.
Yeah, I think no one can argue, at least not logically, argue that what sets Ring of Honor apart isn't the in-ring product, because it is. The in-ring product, I mean, Patrick O'Dowd and I have been Ring of Honor fans since 2005, and easily, you know, and immediately caught up on all the old stuff as well. And we know that that's what's always, always set the organization apart. So what's in terms of the VOD for this, is that already up or going up on the site for Death Before Dishonor?
I must tell you, GoFight Live has the rights to the VOD because they produced the show. I think we're still in talks with that. We are producing a DVD that you can order through our website that will probably be ready within the next 10 days. So whether you buy the VOD through GoFight Live or wait for the DVD from us. And the DVD, by the way, has a lot of additional footage that wasn't even seen on the show. So it'll be a good purchase. And it was just a great show. I mean, you know, any collector is going to want to have when a champion is crowned. And, you know, Adam Cole's victory was very interesting, to say the least. I thought his match with Ciampa was just lights out in the first semifinals. And for him to come back into that last match and the way he won it and the aftermath of how he won it is really a good telling story of what we can expect in the next few months.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I agree with you 100%. Adam Cole, you know, Adam Cole's been on our program twice, and we're huge fans of Adam Cole, and we couldn't be happier with his win. Do you guys feel like the company's in good hands with him at the top?
Oh, definitely. He is a student of the business, and he's really, really aspired to this place. And he's worked hard to get it. Adam's a good worker. And I'm not suggesting for one second that Adam is a better worker than Michael or any of the boys that we have, you know, and girls, actually. I know Scarlett's going to be on the show. She was there in Philadelphia. And we enjoy having her involved in Ring of Honor as well. The level of work is just so high in our organization. But I think Adam's going to be a good champion. I think Adam is a tirelessly good worker. And, you know, I don't totally agree with the way he's doing some things right now, but, you know, that he's got to do what he's got to do to make his name in this business. And I think he's doing a great job with it. I'm a personal big believer in Adam.
Now, I've got a few things. So we've got Adam Cole at the top, and he's a phenomenal talent, don't get me wrong. But with him being at the top and this level of talent that he's on, and he's wrestled, you know, a lot of the other talent on there, such as Bennett and Richards and all them, are we going to be seeing a new way of trying to get him over with that? As far as, you know, how are we going to work it with it not being the same match? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people go watch Adam and I go wrestle the wrestlers over and over again and not ever get tired of it. But we need to, you know, I think the way to go about it would be to make it a little bit fresh and a little more different. So how is that going to try to fit into the future?
Well, let me ask you this question, because it's a very astute comment. If you've been following Ring of Honor in the last, let's say, 12 months, I think you've seen a lot of freshness and a lot of differences and a lot of people coming in and a lot of surprises the way we have done our titles and the, you know, title changes and stuff like that. So I have a lot of faith in my creative people. Hunter Johnston is an absolute genius and is on the pulse of, I think, the fan and the wrestlers themselves and is kind of finding that common point that makes it exciting and makes us keep guessing. So my guess is that, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, is that Hunter will take care of this to the point that it won't disappoint or be boring to our casual fan and to our regular fan.
Good. Because I actually look forward to seeing a lot of you know, what they can do with Adam being the champion.
Yeah, and I am too, and I think he's going to be a good champion.
All right, so there's also there's been some recent reports of Mike Bennett, it sounds like Davey Richards, and a few others who have chose to sign some new deals and stay with Ring of Honor. Do you feel like the roster is starting to feel a little bit more solid, feeling like it's on some pretty good footing?
Oh, my gosh. I think our roster is the best it's ever been. I have to tell you that one of the joys, you know, I get to be in the business. I get to run this Ring of Honor Wrestling on behalf of Sinclair Broadcast Group. I'm a fan. I'm a mark. I'm all of those things that I'm able to experience. But when I went to back of at the end of the matches on Friday night and saw the love and the respect and the accolades and the speeches of everybody, that locker room is fantastic. We have a great locker room. These guys like each other, they respect each other, and they respect what we're doing and all trying to be part of it. So, yeah, I love the locker room right now.
And it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around this, that it's been over 2 years now since Sinclair bought Ring of Honor. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you feel about the last 2 years for the company?
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. Let me put it into even further perspective, because the Emmys are running right now on TV. You know, it's TV's celebration. But this next weekend show, this past weekend show, I believe was show number 105, which means that my talented crew of people have produced 105 original hours of TV. Now, to put that in perspective, if any of these TV series that are being honored tonight on the Emmys ever reached 100 episodes, that show would be eligible to go into a syndication, which is obviously the big money for those people. But to think that in 2 years, and we debuted the program on September 24th, 2011, to think that 105 shows later, we have improved the show as it's gone along, I have to tell you, it's been very satisfying from that perspective. I will also say that the ratings in the markets that we get overnight ratings and also we get regular ratings, our rating performance has really, really met our expectation and in some markets exceeded it. So for 2 years of ownership, it's been enlightening, it's been challenging, it's been incredibly rewarding, and it's like everything else that's a relationship. You have to go through all those periods to have a full perspective of what you really have.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the ratings and how well you're doing in the markets that you have. There's, you know, around the internet, there's been a lot of criticisms from on TNA, which most people largely agree is the number two company out there. Do you see?
I would largely say that I don't know that that's true.
Fair enough. Well, and the question then, the follow up is, when you look at, let's just say from the audience that it can reach, it's number two. Could ROH eventually become the number two promotion in the United States? I mean,
I think we already are. I think if you're looking because they have a national distribution on Spike Network, yes. If you're looking at how to rate the reach, they are clearly number two because they have 100 or 85 to 90 to 100% reach due to their cable carriage. Will we ever get to 100%? We are working on it. I mean, just remember, we're owned by the largest owner and operator of television stations. We'll never get to 100% because the FCC won't allow it from a cap perspective. But we take care of our stations first. And, you know, we are programming content for our stations. So once we get to that point of saturation, then we can look to expanding further. But as far as quality, as far as work, as far as what the fans want to see, there's no question that we're number two.
No, first of all, I love the fact that you're willing to give us that answer and not the political answer. I think that's great, and I hope
what's the political answer?
Oh, you know, something that we don't worry about what the competition's doing, or we're just trying to do our thing. You know, the fact that you can flat out say that you believe in the company that well speaks volumes. So,
well,
I think that's...
And you know what? I really look, when we went into this business, we never even thought that, you know, we were going to compete with the WWE at their level because nobody can. I mean, they are an unbelievable organization that has taken, what, 20 years to get to where they are today? So anyone who's going to try and compete with that or try to think that they're going to compete with that can never win. Their distribution is just too great. Their associations are too great. And Ring of Honor was never that organization. But I think what we have is raised the level of Ring of Honor wrestling to a much broader scale and to a much wider audience through our TV stations. You know, clearly, are we independent? I guess we're independent, but I think we are the top of the class of the independents, if there's such a moniker you can give yourself. But I would pit, I will tell you, and I speak to the wrestling writers who I'm not going to name, when we wrestle WrestleMania weekend, they are all interested in our show and enjoy coming to our show because they see what they want to see. They actually see competitive wrestling at a level and fan participation level that you don't get anywhere else.
No, I would definitely agree with that 100%. A couple questions that are coming through via social media, and one that got emailed as well, if I could. I want to go back to something you mentioned about Go Fight Live. The VOD rights have come up, them owning the video on demand rights. Is that normal, or is that something specific to this show because they foot the bill? Like, how did that come about?
Well, that was definitely one of the things we wanted to give them because of that. But it is not uncommon. It is not an uncommon piece of the pie. Prior to our taking it over, the VODs were always through GoFight Live. The replays is what I'm, you know, specifically, Greg.
Gotcha. No, but you all can still sell the DVD.
The DVD is ours. The DVD is separate. And like I said, we have a mechanism now where they're probably working on it tonight, so we can get it out as soon as possible.
Right, which shows me, given the fact that they own the VOD rights, you're not only worried about that from your own business perspective, but also from the fans' perspective so they can see it, which definitely makes me happy. We talked about the roster earlier and talent signing contracts. Ring of Honor used to sort of be the feeder to the WWE and TNA, and if you look at their rosters now, I think that's obvious. Have you guys gone away from that to where you're no longer just okay with talent just going? It sounds like now it's your talent is your talent.
Well, our talent is our talent, but I have to tell you, I don't blame any of them for the aspiration to be in the WWE. It is the big time in the business, and it is a different level of play. And, you know, but we have to get them ready, and we have to enjoy the time. Again, the WWE is about the personalities in the organization. Ring of Honor is about the brand of wrestling. And I'm proud of the fact that CM Punk is the champion, and Daniel Bryan is the champion. And there's going to be a Ring of Honor person right now who's wrestling for us that's going to be a champion. And it helps our brand. I mean, when we did our training camp last month, we sold it out because people understand that the exposure you get from doing Ring of Honor and the training you get and the work that you gets you ready for that next step if that's what you're interested in. So, yeah, well, I don't mind that. I don't know if I would call myself a feeder school, but I certainly don't mind that our guys make it up there, and I'm glad that they do. It shows a respect for our organization and what we're doing, absolutely.
No, it's good, and it sounds like, you know, more and more people also, at least publicly, seem, you know, saying that they'd want to stay and are taking advantage of the opportunity to stay with Ring of Honor too, which I think is great. You know, you guys being on television, adding new market, it's just some great stuff. And I want to thank you. You came on this show with such short notice. People are probably, if they're not satisfied with any answers, it's still the weekend. Like, you haven't even back to the office yet. So,
well, I've been back to the office, but I want you to know that if there are fans that are emailing you or they want to have a little bit more, I'm available to stay on a little longer, but I don't want to take up Scarlett. Believe me, I'm sure they're much more interested in hearing what Scarlett has to say than what Joe Koff has to say. And if we were visual, I know I'd be up sooner because I'm sure they'd rather be looking at Scarlett as well. So.
Yeah, Scarlett's been on this program for almost 2 years now, so they're used to her. We're big fans of Scarlett.
She's a terrific young performer, and I will tell you that just as a sideline to Scarlett, and I know if you're listening, Scarlett, I know you like this story. During the broadcast over the last 3 months, we've been offering photos of our wrestlers as a text with a link to get their photo. And I believe that Scarlett's week was the first week where we topped over 1,000 text requests. So she was pretty proud of that, and we were too. So it's obvious that she has quite a following, as does Zeta, as does Maria. I like our women. I like the women of honor that we have. And, you know, one of the things we'd like to do more of in 2014 is develop that women's brand as well.
Is it hard to market that women's product, like to really dedicate, you know, more than one match a card or two matches a card to the women's product and still have the whole 360-degree level of your fan base be satisfied?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's very fair. I think that the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was years ago, and I think Shimmer does a good job. You know, the level of competition at the women's has to just be at such a level that meets and greets and matches that expectation that the guys do. And I think to start with one match, you know, Hunter and I are talking about possibly doing a Women of Honor card on a smaller basis just to give that exposure, plus to get us more talent. But I think it's a, I really do think it's a one match, maximum two maybe, situation on a card. I think that's what the people will tolerate. Not meant to insult.
No, that's 100%. No, it's complete honesty, and I appreciate that, and think our listeners should appreciate that as well. And there's, look, if they're looking for full-blown women's wrestling, they can find it. They can find it. You know, there's plenty of places where they can get that. So
again, I think the key is that our women's wrestling is actually wrestling. It's not flaunting, and it's not scanty, and it's not dainty-clad women. It's wrestlers. It's women. You know, the women who wrestle for us. Mischief and Zeta and Scarlet and Athena. These are serious athletes, and they want to be taken seriously. They're not. They don't want to be eye candy. Even Maria, when she's involved, Maria did some announcing on Friday night, and Maria has gotten in the ring. A serious woman and a very entrepreneurial woman. I mean, the women of Ring of Honor. I will say this: are probably the smartest women in wrestling. So. I'm proud of them. They do a great job.
I just got to say thank you for not, you know, treating the women like everybody else does. But it's kind of nice to actually hear that from somebody who's in a higher-up position like yourself.
I would like to think if anyone says anything about me as far as my relationship with my workers and the people that I'm involved with, and these are people I work with, I think there's a total amount of respect. I mean, I know how hard these people are working to do what they do. And if anyone doesn't think that, then they really, really aren't into the product enough. And that is male and female alike. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Excellent.
I had one last question. I just
go for it.
One of the other things that did happen at Death Before Dishonor this past weekend that I know a lot of people are talking about, I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts. BJ Whitmer announcing his retirement from the ring. Just a quick comment about BJ.
Oh, he's tremendous. I mean, you know, I haven't had the luxury of working with BJ as long as obviously a lot of people and certainly their fans and the fans' relationship. But this guy's a tireless worker. Puts his body out there every single match, puts his heart out there every single match, and everything you saw on the telecast, if you were watching, when BJ was making his final speech and the guys lining the ring to applaud him, this guy is a respected pro. He's a workhorse. He's earned it. He's a good guy. He's a good guy in the locker room. And believe me, I'm sure that's the last speech he wanted to be making last Friday night. So BJ knows how I feel about him. I don't have to say it publicly, but I will. I have tremendous respect for what he did, and I hope he can get back. I hope he can find a way to heal and say to us, you know what, I'm ready to give it a try again, because we would welcome him back in a second.
And no surprise that he used his retirement speech to put over somebody else in Jimmy Jacobs. That doesn't surprise us at all. We're huge fans of B.J. Whitmer.
That's that consummate pro in him. That's what we're talking about. He's a worker's worker. You know, not everyone's going to be the top of the card, and not everyone's going to be that guy. But he's a worker's worker, and the locker room respects that, and the industry should respect that.
Excellent. Well, Joe, you've been great and gracious in giving us so much time. Thank you for coming on. We really do appreciate it. I hope that the iPay-per-view thing works out, because I do think that the live experience to see the card as it happens does make a difference, but I know the VOD is still an awesome alternative as well. And hopefully we can do this again. I'll definitely be hitting you guys up for some guests in the future, because we've been big supporters of ROH since day one on our show 2.5 years ago, and we'll continue to do that. So thank you for your time, and hopefully this success will continue for you guys.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for your panel of people that are there too as well. And please call on us. We'd love to put our guys on the air with you guys. You're doing a good job for the industry, and we respect that. So thank you very much.
Oh, anytime. Don't you? We will definitely take you up on that. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Bye,
Jeff.
Thank you very much for coming on.
You guys have a good evening.
There we go. Joe Koff, Ring of Honor CEO. Patrick O'Dowd, any thoughts about the stuff Joe had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was as honest as he needed to be as far as I think it would be disingenuous to not pay attention to what folks were saying at the end of Death Before Dishonor in regards to the stream and its issues. I think he answered them fairly well, and I think that it's, you know, I'm glad that we didn't spend the whole interview talking about that, and then we got to talk about the product. So,
yeah, Heather, what'd you think of Joe?
I think he sounds like he knows what he's doing. He has a lot of faith in his team, and that's a good thing because, yeah, I mean, no one person can run a promotion, not even Vince McMahon. And I like the fact that he, you know, he likes his creative team. That's obviously going to be, you know, his make or break right there. And when you have talent like they do, as long as you use them right, I mean, there's no telling what can happen with them, especially with how bad other feds are doing.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I love the fact that he was like, you know, is TNA number two? Maybe we are. Like, I really, you know, with the reach that TNA has, sure, they're number two. But, you know, for him to not, you know, to not skirt around that and say, I think we're better, I love that. I love the fact that he's, even Dixie Carter won't say that. Like, Dixie Carter will be like, I love what the WWE does. She once said she wanted to promote a card with them. You know, and here he is saying, you know, hey, we think what we have is better. And I love that. And I love that he did that. And I love the fact that he was brutally honest. You know, Go Fight Live paid for the whole thing. Go Fight Live has always had VOD rights. You know, he was telling us things that he didn't need to tell us. And that's what I respect the most. It's, he could have held some of that back and we wouldn't have been none the wiser. We would have been. And so credit to him for just saying, hey, I will share plenty of information. So good. And you know, they had to bring in the internet line, like he talked about that. You know, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people realize about the National Guard Armory. They won't let you use their internet. And if you remember what happened in Florida, and he even talked about Showdown in the Sun, they were using the building's internet, and that was part of the problem down there. So Heather, watch out. Internet apparently goes down in Florida on occasion.
Oh, I know. We had the iPay-per-view for FPW we were supposed to do a couple weeks ago, and they were having issues with it. And my internet freaking goes down all the damn time anyway.
Yeah. So
Bright House.
It's a Florida thing, I guess. I don't know.
No,
so.
I was like, with all the technical problems we have on our show, you're going to sit there and say it's a Florida thing? Like, honestly.
True.
It's an internet thing.
Well, it's also the damn British lady from Blog Talk Radio thing,
yeah, it's all
too.
British lady.
I hate that whore.
Well, you don't have to call her a whore. I mean, she's a nice woman. I don't know if she's a nice woman. I have no clue.
No, she's not.
So,
she
but we are.
She's not nice.
Okay, fine. She's not nice. We'll go with that. She's not nice at all. Anyway, we are going to move forward because holding on the line right now is the woman that everybody wants to talk to, the woman that we've got a ton of email questions. And if you guys check your rundown, you can see those. Those are all serious questions, believe it or not. And, yeah, let's bring on the line right now. That, of course, is the song. It also comes from the commercial that we play. It's a real song by Kid Rock for the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux. Scarlett, welcome back. We've missed you.
I've missed you, too. I'm happy to be back.
We're happy to have you back. The first time you've ever had to share the line with another woman, but I think you and Heather can get along just fine, and things should be okay.
No problem whatsoever. I've seen her pictures.
I was
See,
listening a little bit to the Joe Koff, and she sounds smart, and I get along very well with smart girls.
she is very smart, and I've tooted her horn, and I mean that in the least innuendo way possible.
Dude, I was like, why are you even trying to go there?
I'm actually serious. I'm not even trying to be funny as I say that.
No, it's not going to work today, Greg. It's not
going to
work.
I know. Let's just say she used to be relegated to the third hour, and she's now doing the entire show, and she's now a big part of the show. Hell, she's booking guests for the show, and we can even, you know, and apologize, Scarlett, for jumping in. But Heather, on October 13th, who is joining the Greg DeMarco show? Completely thanks to your efforts.
We have a Mr. Briley Pierce joining us on October 13th.
That's right. And
people know him as, you know, Dolph Ziggler's brother, but he's a damn good wrestler in his own right. So he'll be joining the show to talk about, you know, what he's doing now. And he's got a lot of stuff coming up, and, of course, his book that he wrote.
And, of course, you know, he's going to have to answer some questions about being in NXT, too. And we're excited about that. So, and that's just the first...
Is there homework for the interview now?
No, there's not homework for the interview now. I don't even think the book has come out yet. So,
his book? Yeah, you can get his book.
Oh, there you go, Patrick. You now have homework. You now have homework.
No. So,
I forgot what it's called. Is it I Can Make Out With Any Girl In Here or something like that?
Nice. We are going.
It was written, I think, I think it was written when he was in college.
That's what the book's actually called?
Yes.
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Research. Somebody in the snake pit, get on that. We'll do some research. So, Scarlett, you just had a weekend with Ring of Honor, and we'll start there. How were the two ROH events that you had a chance to be a part of?
Really fun. I love my car. I love the locker room. So just even, like, everything being surrounded by the people is great. We did the No Hate campaign on Saturday. Last night we left Philly at about midnight, and I'd ride with people from Detroit, so I had to do 10 hours to Detroit and then another 4 hours back to Chicago. I got back around 2 p.m. this afternoon.
And here you are on the Greg DeMarco show. That's dedication, people. that's what we call a trooper right there. In fact, there's only one reason why Scarlett would even do that, and that reason's me.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
I told you you'd regret that.
Oh, wow. It's going to haunt me forever.
Yes.
That's what happens in this program. That's what happens on this program. I didn't play it when Joe was on, though, so you can at least be thankful for that. Joe,
you never know, but you know it's okay. He knows me. He knows I have a sense of humor. So,
I don't think you were on yet, but he's probably already told you this before. But they have a promotion where they can take text requests for different pictures of different wrestlers and roster members each week, and you were the first person to ever top 1,000 requests, is what he was telling us before you got on. So he was singing the praises of you and your popularity, and really the Women of Honor in general. So definitely.
Yeah, I love the girls. I love the girls in our locker room.
Yeah, so definitely a good thing. It seems like a great locker room. What is it like learning from someone like, say, Maria, who has been on WWE television before? Like, what kind of things can she impart that maybe we don't even get as viewers?
She is so amazing at answering any question you have. Like, she'll sit down with you, and I ask her once in a while to watch my matches and see. Like, give me some feedback and just even like life advice. She's a good friend. She's I heard what Joe said. She's a great entrepreneur and she's a great businesswoman. So she put together she did so much for the No Hate campaign. I look up to her so much. Even like right when I started, and I told her that when I first met her, that she was definitely one of my role models as far as wrestling goes. She's an amazing entertainer and just really a great person.
Awesome. You brought the No Hate campaign. What was it like to be a part of something that's not just Ring of Honor, not just wrestling, but really, you know, a nationwide campaign?
Yeah, you have like Justin Bieber and Nicki Minaj and pretty much like you have A-list celebrities and music artists doing it too. So when they invited us to do it, it's a huge, huge deal. It was fun, but also it's like for a great cause. And I definitely support gay rights, and I think everyone should look into the No Hate campaign definitely. And the pictures are gonna be great and pretty. And most of the locker room took part in it. It was almost impossible to get that face tattoo off though.
Really?
So it's not just like face paint or something? Like, what's up with that?
It's a straight up like temporary tattoo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So as Greg mentioned at the opening of the show, people, if you're listening, feel free to give us a call. Greg, what's the number again if they want to call and ask Carla a question?
Of course. You can call and ask Carla a question at 760.
There you 760. Go.
Okay, I'm going to talk now, if you're ready. That number would be 760-888-5749 is the number that you can reach us at. So call in, talk to Scarlett.
Yeah, now on the bright side, we do have some questions, some email questions that have come through that we can't ask you from fans. So I'm hoping that's just because they had other more important things to do, which I can't imagine what they are, to not ask. So I'm just going to pull one off.
And before you ask any of these questions, I just want to point out before you ask, Scarlett did say she'd answer anything. That's all I want
to
point out.
Are you trying to get me to ask the questions that, like, I'm like, I don't really
no.
want
to
ask that?
No, no, no. I'm not saying you have to ask the dumb ones. I'm just saying she said she'd answer anything. Just warning the listener.
There you go. Well, I'll start off. I'll just go with the top one right off the top of the list here, because there's actually quite a bunch. But everybody knows that, you know, in addition to wrestling, we've seen your picture all over the place as you do modeling. And so one of the fans, and I don't know who this came from because a lot of them are from anonymous questions. But what was or is your favorite photo shoot?
My favorite photo shoot. I worked with this guy. There's two photographers that are my favorite. This guy Ken and this guy George Mario. George Mario, we're in this field, and it's pretty much the outside of a dump. There's old cars. We had to sneak in through like barbed wire to get in there, and it looks like I'm on like a nice, beautiful beach or, you know, like a gorgeous like country field. It's like, no, this is in the middle of like the worst part of the city. And so I love like how that was one of my favorites too, because I'm like barefoot and there's like all this garbage and trash everywhere, and it's like the most beautiful set ever, and we're just laughing about the situation that people look at the photos and they're like, oh, this is so glamorous, so beautiful. It's like, yeah, a lot of these settings are like the Tilt the Kilt photo shoot. It's like the water's ice cold, or it's like really dirty, but then you know, you put the magic together with Photoshop and it's like, oh, it looks like a beautiful set. And this guy, Ken, I love working with him. And, of course, the Tilt the Kilt photo shoot was really, really great.
Nice. That's how she had to get the Tilted Kilt plug in there. Like don't want to make sure we talk about the moneymaker right there with the Tilted Kilt. So we'll kind of keep going with sort of the email in questions. And they weren't all anonymous, but some people said specifically don't use their names, so I just decided that we would use none. Are you a sports fan outside of the world of wrestling? Was one of the questions that we received.
Oh, completely honest, not at all. I'm completely – I was the girl even in high school. I would play sick to get out of gym class and go to the nurse's office and nap instead. I was not besides horseback riding and, like, rock climbing and, like, figure skating, that was my idea of sports when I was – but I had very little hand-eye coordination in general. And even watching sports, like, not a baseball fan. I like hockey. I like hockey.
I just like the fact that you said you like horseback riding. I love horseback riding.
I love horseback riding too.
I do. I like to just go out, you know, get out, like, away from everything. Me and the horse, and, like, nobody bothers me. It's fantastic. It's so nice and soothing. Hey, you pay for it for the next few days, but, you know, it's nice and soothing.
That's, like, a plan we should all make. We should all go horseback riding together one day.
Oh, I like that. We'll go
horseback. Patrick O'Dowd, horseback riding. Get
on
ready.
On the beach, like, point. Like it started. I mean, like along a sunset would be lovely.
We'll tie you on the horse, Patrick, so you don't fall off. Okay.
Wow. Now, how do you know that I know nothing about riding? That was awful presumptuous. My goodness.
Okay, can you ride a horse?
Not a lick, but damn it, that's not the point. Assumptions were made.
Nice try, though.
Exactly.
For all you know, he could have been quite the equestrian, and maybe there were some jumping in his past. Have you ever been horseback riding, Patrick O'Dowd?
Yes, I have been horseback riding. I grew up in farmland Illinois. Like, livestock is everywhere.
True. I did go once, and I apparently had the horse that, like, didn't care at all. Like, where the group was going, my horse would just veer off everywhere, and... You know, it was my first and only time ever horseback riding, so of course I was like, help. So, yeah, I did great.
Well, it looks like Scarlett and I are going to have to take the reins on this one.
Oh.
Literally.
Wow, that was phenomenal right there.
That's Greg DeMarco bad. Like,
that really was.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
Patrick Reddow, don't ever use the phrase Greg DeMarco bad again, okay?
And you know what?
Like,
stop making bad
past.
Puns,
come
man.
You're welcome.
All right, we got enough sound bites going. I considered playing one during the Joe Koff interview, but then obviously thought that would be really stupid. So
you shut up. You totally shut up.
I mean, it is what your show is, man.
Oh, I know. I feel like after talking to Joe Koff, especially with the level of confidence the man has in Ring of Honor, is there a funny side to this guy that we don't know about?
Well, I do remember. Well, yeah, definitely. There was just one time I just remember he brought his ice cream bars, and he was so excited about these ice cream bars. I just remember him, and it was like a pack of a different kind. One of them was like ice cream sandwiches, like the drumsticks. And then at one point, he pulls out. He's like, "Oh, I even have a Klondike bar." And for some reason, it just like stuck with me how excited he was to be giving us like ice cream. Which I don't know. Like maybe he's not intentionally funny, but you know, I think he's funny.
Not intentionally funny, just like this show. That's what we do. What we do right there. So, Heather, we're going to put you on the spot, Heather. Ask a question for Scarlett Bordeaux. You can pick from the list. You can do your own thing. It's completely up to you.
Oh, well, I'll go with the question. So I take it you're a food server at Tilted Tilt?
Jeez.
Okay, because I'm a server, and I just... Do you ever tell people what you do? I've got to know.
I used to tell them all the time, and then I would notice it was like the same, sometimes it'd be the exact same question every time, and it would depend on the person nowadays. It would usually, the reaction would always be, oh, you like Jell-O wrestling, or are you an amateur professional wrestler? And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. So they ask me questions like that. And then the question comes, oh, will you arm wrestle me right now, or can you hit a move on me right now? And I'm like, obviously not. So it's one of those things that if I start to talk to the person, because that's something that's cool about that job, like you can just actually sit down and talk to people if you want to. If I start to talk to the person and it's just I just feel like it, I'm like, yeah. And then they ask me what I'm doing this week, I'm like, yeah, I have a wrestling show. And it kind of just, you know, takes them back, surprises them a little bit. And then, but the other girls, they're the ones who more like brag about me being the wrestler there. So it's them. I'll be called over the table all the time. People wanting to meet the wrestler.
Yeah, it's kind of that. I asked that because I've been serving for a while, so with being a server and in the wrestling business, it's funny because you do like at first, you know, it was like, oh yeah, you know, I do wrestling, and it's always the wrestling, yeah, like you know, high school, and I'm like, no, like
yeah.
And so my way of explaining it is just like, yeah, the stuff on TV. Oh, you mean the fake
yes.
stuff? And that's the worst question that I get possibly. It's like, oh, please don't ever call it that around me. And then it ends
then
up
you,
with the,
yep.
yeah, you want to wrestle me, baby? You want to, you know, or how much to pay you to wrestle her? And it's like, never mind. So now
you instantly regret even bringing it
you know.
Up.
Exactly. And sometimes it works, you know. Sometimes the guys are, they think it's pretty cool. So it works, you know, you end up making better tips, but. There's times where I'm just like, why did I say that? I'm going to go in the back, and when your check's ready, I'll be right back out.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of the girls, you know, being a server, it's with the usually the schedule and everything like that makes it a lot easier.
For sure. Definitely.
Well, yeah, considering Scarlett is the
check it out.
Scarlett has been at times been given months off of her job for things like professional wrestling. So she definitely appreciates the schedule. That's for sure. I thought you were going to ask the other Tilted Kilt question that was on there, but we'll save that. It's sort of become a show tradition anyway. So we'll definitely save that one for later. However, this one was sent in, and it's kind of an interesting one, so I will ask it. It's a borderline, it's a wrestling question, though, at least. And of course, as you know, everybody loves the quote-unquote pipe bomb promo in the world of professional wrestling. Of course, made famous by CM Punk, and of course, recently AJ Lee cutting her pipe bomb promo. So if you, Scarlett Bordeaux, were given the quote-unquote live mic and allowed to cut a pipe bomb promo on anybody or anything, who would you take the opportunity to go off on, is the question.
Probably not going to mention, definitely wouldn't mention the person by name. It would be the same way AJ kind of did it. Like, obviously everyone knows who she's talking about, but she doesn't really, you know, she implies, but she doesn't say a person by name. What I would do, definitely, it's mostly like the few girls, there's a few girls I've dealt with in the past, and they've disliked me from the beginning, and it was just based on me being young and me getting opportunities and then being around for a long time and not getting opportunities. And I probably could have piped on promo about, like, that sometimes people have, like, natural talent. Of course, it'd be towards that. Like, some people have talent, and some people, you know, like, they work hard and they get what they want, and some people just don't have it. So you just have to deal with that. So something along those lines. I'm not going to cut the promo right now. It's probably something I'll, one day.
That's right. Yeah, save it for the book.
Yeah, the book. I was going to say, just Scarlett's track record of, like, being, like, having to record something. I mean, we have a commercial evidence that doesn't always go according to plan.
At least you're not only making fun of me. I'm glad.
You know what? I don't just make fun of you. Like, we're all friends here, mostly. I mean, technically.
We are, yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I'll ask a question. Will that do any better?
Of course it will.
All right. Well, then, okay, I just don't want to mention things. So, Scarlett, if I do recall, I think the last time on the show, we did talk a little bit about your personal life, and at the time you had said that you had met somebody and were dating some dude. I don't remember. His name might have been Theo or something for all we know. I just know a lot of guys were really sad that day. Am I wrong, Greg? No, not wrong. But
I don't remember the name.
I don't think the name ever came up. I just think it was guy that we weren't expecting. We learned that she had just gotten out of a relationship and then she was getting into another one. And yay. Anyway, back to the question. Whoever you cared about who you can date. So, do you prefer to date a man who can sing? And there's actually a follow-up, so we'll start with that.
I do prefer to date a man who can sing, yes.
Okay, so then since you prefer to date a man who can sing, would you care if the man you were dating could sing better than you?
No, not at all. He could serenade me to sleep. The same way with wrestling. If I was with someone who was more successful than I am and they were on TV all the time, I would be so happy for them and I would support them no matter what. I'm not really a jealous person when it comes to the people I care about. So he could be the most amazing singer in the world. I would just make him sing to me every morning, every night, pretty much.
I feel like we could be such a jerk right now and ask you if you've dated a guy who is more or less successful than you. But I like that guy and I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to ask that question. We're not going to go there at all. Just popped into my head, and sometimes Sometimes things that pop into our heads come out like that. By the way, if you're hearing Scarlett for the first time, the reason why that question was probably asked was because Scarlett can sing. And if you go back and watch some of the Hoopla Uncut videos that Ring of Honor has put out, you can hear Scarlett. I'm sure there are other ways they can hear it too, Scarlett, but that's the easiest one that I know that people can hear you sing. So, and I'm sure there are even some more better produced ones than that where people could really hear you sing. So, by the way, are you still in school? Are you still also working towards finishing your degree?
18 credit hours this semester. It's horrible. It's so awful compared with with wrestling on weekends and trying to get the kilt and school. It's horrible. I'm so ready to be done with it. And just I'm not a school person. I mean, I want to get that degree, but I'm so ready to just work and wrestle. But some people like school. Some people like sitting in the classroom. I hate it. I hate it so much.
I mean, school's overrated.
it's just funny that Patrick says that since we both work in college. People going to college keeps our livelihood going. So that's definitely good for us. But no, I mean, 18 credits a semester is a lot for someone who doesn't have a life and a career and a job. Doing all that plus all your travel – plus everything else. I mean, that's got to be good. Have there been times where you have to say, like, no, like, I can't make this trip with Ring of Honor, I can't do something because of school?
I've had to turn down some opportunities with actually the kilt because of school. And they asked good opportunities, too. But the way I usually put it, I'll say school does come first. You know, I'm paying all that money. Wrestling, like, I'm not going to miss the wrestling show, but I specifically have my schedule to be Mondays and Wednesdays. I have school all day, so it never interferes with wrestling. But I had to turn down throwing the first pitch at a Cubs game last week because of school.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just a Cubs game, but
right.
I mean, it's not like it was a good team, like the Cardinals or something.
But, I mean, either way,
listen to you.
Cardinals, like,
what? I mean, it's the greatest baseball franchise in the world. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're not talking about a loyal Cubs fan here anyway. I mean, she pointed out early.
I don't care that she doesn't like sports. Steve Cook's listening, and he thinks his Reds are worth a damn, and that's not true either.
Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't turn this into
something.
You started nothing.
I know. Okay. This was started before you even ever first appeared on the program. That is quite all right. However, we do have some callers in queue, so we'd like to take a risk and let some callers ask some questions. How do you feel about that?
Sure. Should we have like a secret word that just in case it's like I'm weirded out? I don't know, like pineapple or something.
Yes. Pineapple would be perfect, actually. Let's go with pineapple.
Coconut.
No, let's go with pineapple.
Pineapple? Okay.
I'm a big big
the caller's already here with a conversation? Haven't you ruined the secret word?
Possibly.
For the first call.
Possibly. So I know who this caller is though, and I know they're not gonna let us down. So caller from the 516 area code. Let everybody know your name, where you're calling from, and you have a question for Scarlett.
Yeah, how you doing, Greg? How you doing, Greg?
Well, Mr. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Scarlett, what's it like to work with Truth? What's it like to work with Truth Martini?
He's exactly the way you think he is. The character you see in the ring is pretty much still him. Like he's crazy. He's so much fun. I get to travel with him too. Probably one of the smartest, best managers in the business, I think. So I think that it's been a really good influence for me to be around that, and it's helped me get better.
That's wonderful. You get to learning from managers like him. It take you a long way. Hey, Scarlett.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, fellas. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Hey. Have a good night.
The man on the ringway premiere on what network?
Right. I almost didn't put him on hold just to hear what was going on around there. I put him on hold, and then, you know, I wanted to thank him, make sure he heard, because Matthew Holley's always been a big, big supporter of our show, and someone that we always appreciate having on. So definitely, definitely excited about that. So tell us, Scarlett, what's coming on. I know you've got something coming up on October the 11th, Friday, October the 11th, with Freelance Wrestling and Columbia College of Chicago. So what's the deal there?
It's a really funny story, actually. For one of my classes at school, entertainment marketing, they're making us put on an event. And, of course, the first idea I had of the thing I'm actually capable of doing is I have wrestling connections. I'm like, I don't have that much money. I don't have that many connections. And Freelance is just my buddy. It's Matt Nix's company. It's his friend's where they train at. And I asked him, I'm like, I know they have access to a ring. And I called him up. I'm like, I have to get this project done for class. I haven't told the center to do it. And he calls me up and he's like, well, I want to raise money for my, the kids wrestling team I coach for new uniforms. So we could like team up on this and, you know, kind of kill two birds with one stone. So that's the whole thing with that. And, right now I don't know who I'm wrestling. I don't know if it's going to be me and a guy, like some kind of handicap match, or like I'm going to be wrestling a girl. We're looking into booking Felicia. But I'll let her tell you. She has some big news. She's gonna be traveling a bit for wrestling, so she might not be able to make it. But I'll let her announce that when she wants to. But maybe,
you know,
you could
make a phone call and maybe she could let her announce it here on the Greg DeMarco Show. I'm just saying, like, that's all.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
Just saying.
Just saying, indeed. So, well, I want to point out, by the way, the poster for the event features five people, and you're for some reason about three times bigger on the poster than the rest of them. I don't know why.
I swear I didn't make that poster. I saw it. It was Matt Nix who made it, and he showed me the poster. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did you do that? And he's like, what? I think it'll attract more people if the girls are making it.
He's probably right.
It's going to be all over my school, too. So I'm like, all right. And most of these people don't even know I wrestle yet. So they're about to find out.
There'll probably be a lot of, that's what's going to happen. So you're actually doing this at the school that you attend.
We're doing it actually at a bar close to where I live in the South Side. So close, kind of down the street from the Kilt, same area. Me and Matt Nix, we live in pretty much the same area, so it's like really easy, and it should be really fun. But technically, it's my first show that I don't even want to say that I'm putting on a show. It's like it's weird for me to say that. I still look at it as more of a school project, but I really care about the product. You know, I care about like I'm gonna do a lot of marketing and PR, make sure lots come, and it should be a good experience, good learning experience.
No, it definitely will, and something that's coming up in a few weeks, too. When does the calendar come out?
The calendar should be out within the next 2 weeks. I'm so nervous.
Now,
have you seen the pictures?
Kellen,
no pictures. I haven't seen a single picture.
Is it a themed calendar? Doing, like, you know, Christmas stuff and bikini stuff for summer and things like that?
Each girl has a uniform photo and then a bikini photo, but for the uniforms, we also took turns taking different pictures of, like, food and, like St. Patrick's Day beads, so we don't know who's going to get what month. It was hinted that I might get February, just because the way they think about it is, like, they were saying red hair, Valentine's Day. I don't know what that connection is, but that's what they said that might happen, but I don't know. I have no idea, and I'm really nervous. We haven't seen these photos yet. I didn't care for my makeup that much that day that they did, but it's one of those things that, like, I had to let them do their thing and just kind of go with it.
Yeah, I've seen you. I don't think you have to worry about the makeup too much.
February. I'm just going to say February, Greg DeMarco's birthday.
Oh, Greg, no one cares about your birthday in February. I'm trying to ask her a question about boobs.
Oh. Yeah, you let her ask her a question.
By all means.
Sorry. Okay, so your uniforms at Tilted Kilt are pretty hot.
because I've seen him, and I was like, when I just moved out here to Florida, and I was like, oh, I should go fly there. And then I was like, no, because then I'd really have to watch what I eat, and I like my sweets really bad. is it a nice, because I know it helps a lot with my serving, and I don't even wear a very, you know, small outfit. I wear, you know, a nice V-neck shirt and stuff, but does it make a big difference over the girls who are not as well endowed?
I can say confidently it does make a difference just because I did get some enhancements before. I didn't have enhancements when I started, and then I got them. So, and I did notice like an increase in tips for sure. I definitely noticed the difference. So, the bra already helped, but I just noticed like I did end up making more money working there. You know, I never served before, but everyone's really cool. So I definitely like working there.
Well, see, okay, I don't feel so bad now because I've noticed that after I had some help, that
boobs are great. Boobs are wonderful.
Yes, they are.
I'm very, very happy. They're a pain sometimes, but I'm very happy. So just because you have a fantastic body. So I just sorry to bring it up.
Thank you. No, I can talk about boobs all day. It's all good.
Well, don't stop then. Like,
as could we all. As could we all.
No, we're going to make sure you boys
are
on the
show.
It's a 2-hour
show for me, like, you know, whatever.
What's funny is Scarlett has admitted to having, as she called them, enhancements on the program before. As one of the haters that Scarlett has, probably one of the people she was referencing earlier in the pipe bomb question, has called her out on it, and much like Joe Koff from before, like, doesn't hold back whatsoever. So something that again just makes us love and appreciate Scarlett all that much more. So the fact that you know, you talked before about how hard you worked to get where you were and how you didn't always have what you felt was the body that someone like Heather would speak so highly of. So how do you find time to do all that, to work out when you work at the Tilted Kilt, so you're around all this really shitty food? No offense to the place you work. Still go there, people. They're still going to go. You work there. But, you know, and school and wrestling and everything else, how often are you able to work out? How about that?
I used to actually, I hated working out. That's part of also the whole, like, I didn't really do sports or gym class, all that in high school. But then when I started, I got a personal trainer because I got really serious about wrestling, and then I started noticing my body get better. And then it started, like, once you actually see a difference, like, oh, it starts becoming fun. And all I do, it's almost like meditation now. I'll get my headphones, go do cardio at the gym, and I'll put my headphones on, and they have TVs in front of you. So I just watch I plan out when my favorite TV shows are playing. Like, I'll even watch, like, I'll go there and watch an hour of Total Divas, and I'll do an hour of cardio while I'm doing it, and I won't even realize the time goes by. And as far as food goes, I feel like I eat whatever I want. I just kind of try and substitute stuff. Like, if I feel like having a chicken club sandwich, I'll just tell myself, like, all right, I'm going to take one of, like, the bread patties off, or maybe no mayo this time. Maybe instead of normal fries, I'll get, like, sweet potato fries. Like, I'm always substituting stuff.
Sorry,
gotcha.
I was
nothing wrong with that.
Taking the breast, I was distracted by taking the breast off.
The what?
I believe she said bread.
The bun.
I think she said bread,
oh,
but that's okay.
Well,
we know where your mind is.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your head is worse.
Somebody thinks more about boobs than I do.
That's true. That's true. As Patrick O'Dowd has said before, he's actually not a boob guy. So that's okay, though. That's okay. I, however, am. So great. That's why I am where I am. So if this were a double date, Patrick O'Dowd, I would have you'd be by yourself. That's basically what I'm saying.
I'm not going to say I would have turned down. Like, well, let's clarify here. Just because the boobs aren't the first thing that I care about in a lady doesn't mean I don't appreciate a nice rack.
Okay. All right. We will leave it there. So how about that? So Scarlett, when the calendar comes out, and I'm putting you on the spot. You like that? I'm putting you on the spot here, and I probably shouldn't, but whatever. I'll pay for it later if I have to. When the calendar comes out, can we get one? Like, can you sign February and whatever other month you end up on? And can we give one to a listener? Can we do that?
Yes, I can do that. No problem. I'll whenever it comes out, I'm going to grab a few. I don't even know how it works. If they're going to give me a few, I assume they're going to give me one. Like, I'm just assuming already. But, yeah, I'll make sure you guys get one. Well, like, just give one away.
Excellent.
Surprise.
Yeah, we'll give away a surprise. We've never really given anything away before. We're actually getting ready to give away some T-shirts with a T-shirt company that Patrick and Heather don't even know about. And so, yeah, why not give away some other stuff? There's exciting things coming up for us that I'm teasing and shouldn't even be teasing because nothing's nailed down in stone in terms of dates. But whatever. We're going to do some stuff, and why not give away the Perfect 10 Scarlet Bordeaux in a calendar? I mean, come on. And Scarlet, maybe someday you can just have your own damn calendar.
I think I should make that happen. I think the Women of Honor should have their own calendar too, but I could have a Scarlet Bordeaux calendar for sure. That needs to be done pretty soon.
No offense to the Women of Honor. You should just have a Scarlet Bordeaux calendar. Let's be honest here. Not that the Women of Honor... calendar. I'm sure people would love to see the Women of Honor in a calendar, but, you know, the Scarlet Bordeaux calendar, I think, would sell. I think, could you imagine if you were at a merch table at indie shows selling Scarlet Bordeaux, people would buy that thing like crazy.
Bank. That's serious bank.
I'd buy one.
See?
Exactly. I have a market already.
You do.
I'm working on a t-shirt right now already, though, so that's going to be coming out soon.
There you go. So you got calendars, you got T-shirts, you got all kinds of good things coming up that people can enjoy. So if I could find the "You're Welcome" soundbite, I would play it. But for some reason, it just disappeared. So I can't find it. Patrick O'Dowd, what am I gonna do when I don't have a soundbite that I can play? It's driving me. There it is.
You're welcome.
There you go.
It just tells me you have too many sound bites if you have to scroll through that many sound bites to find the right sound bite.
You shut your damn
mouth. Pare it down, bro. Oh.
You shut your damn mouth right now. Exactly.
Just being a realist, Greg.
That's like saying
a wrestling realist.
It's like saying you don't like boobs. Come on. That's crazy.
I didn't say I don't like boobs. You said I don't like boobs.
Oh,
next thing I know,
goodness.
You're going to say I don't drink.
No one. You drink on the air openly. No one can claim drink.
What?
Oh, come on now. Come on now. You don't drink. Yeah, you don't drink. And Scarlett and Heather don't have fake boobs. Okay. Come on now. All right. Excellent. Well, Scarlett,
hey,
you stay.
They are really mine. Thank you.
For now.
No, I said they're really mine now. Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. Gotcha. No, I completely understand. So yes, shake with the doctor gate. I want to make sure people heard Scarlett's comment. It's highly enjoyable. And had I said it, people would have groaned. So I'm glad you said it and not me. So wonderful. Well, if for some reason, and I can't imagine this is the case, but if people don't know where to find you, Scarlett, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at lady_scarlet13, or you can add me on Facebook, and I will add you if you are a Greg DeMarco listener. So if I see a mutual friend of Greg DeMarco, I will add you for sure. If you even send me a message that you listen to the Greg DeMarco show, I'll add you. Or you can like my fan page, Scarlet Bordeaux.
Awesome, excellent. And still trying to figure out who the first 12 Lady Scarlets were. Don't know, but that's quite all right. So, awesome. Well, Scarlett, keep up the great work. We'd like to look forward to bringing you on. We look forward to giving away a free Tilted Kilt calendar at some point in the near future for our listeners. I always love having you on. Keep doing what you're doing, and hope to hear about more awesome things going on for you in the future.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
You too. There we go, everybody. The Perfect 10, Scarlet Bordeaux. But, you know, Patrick, this is like the third or fourth time we tried to do this call-in show with her. And I think it was worth...
Calls.
We had a call. It's okay. We had a call.
We had one. Oh, someday I do. Like, I love the email calls or the email questions, and I think that's great. And I love, you know, that we get to banter with Scarlet and have the conversation. But someday... I think it would be kind of awesome if all you had to do, Greg, is just over and over again be like, caller from the blah, blah, blah area code. Boom.
Would it, though? Really? Would it really be better? I don't know.
It would it would be less fun for you. Let's call it what it is. Because you kind of like to hear the sound of your own voice. It's all right.
And what?
Show. Notice that Heather is laughing because I'm right.
I have no comment.
Yep. When Heather gets up on the Skype and Heather hears how much better her voice sounds on the Skype, she will love the sound of her own voice as well. It's just...
I hate the sound of my voice. I think I sound like a child.
Oh, I sound like a drunk Muppet. It's fine.
I always thought you were a drunk Muppet. I don't understand.
Well, I'm not drunk. No.
Steve Cook in the chat room is making a very good point. In fact, some people are just afraid not only to talk to the lady wrestlers, but they're afraid to call in and be on the air in general. Because let's be honest, if you call in this show and say something stupid, one of the three of us is going to say something about it. So it's not
on the air.
We might. I might play it down.
If it was dumb enough, yeah, actually, you know, in hindsight, yeah, we'd probably do it.
Yeah, we've done it. And so, yeah, so for them. And, of course, there is, you know, we've got most of my influences don't come from the world of wrestling radio. They come from the world of real radio. And I always go back to the Jim Rome slogan of more of you or more of us and less of you is a good thing. So that's what I'll say. That's what I'll say there for that. But we're going to continue moving forward because I have a good friend who's getting ready to step into the ring with a very dangerous man this weekend, although he'll probably tell us that he's the dangerous man who's part of that match. And he's been waiting on hold patiently, even told me privately to keep doing what we're doing, do our thing with Scarlett. And so we did do that. But this Thursday night for Slam U Pro Wrestling in Mesa, Arizona, go to the ArizonaEventCenter.com. You can get more information about that. The Almighty Sheik will be stepping in the ring with our next guest, good friend of mine, Dom Vitale. Dom, thank you for holding on, and welcome back. I know it's been about 2 years since you were last on the program, but welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Patrick, for having me. Appreciate it. It's good to be back on the show.
Yeah, I'm not here or anything. Hi, Dom. How are you?
Oh.
Haven't seen you since CAC or anything.
I didn't know if Heather was going to still be on the line or not, and I heard her during the last segment, and I was really, really hoping she would have. So this is a really nice surprise to actually have her on the line. And Heather, you are missed on this side of the country, that's for sure. I was glad I got to see you before you left, and I hope things work out well for you on the other side of the country over there.
Well, thank you. I miss you guys, too.
I will say this. Heather has essentially earned her way to being a full-blown part of the program. Like, Heather is one of the group now, essentially, on the Greg DeMarco Show, and deservedly so. So that's she's here for the interviews, and she's, you know, as Patrick knows, our interviews can get crazy sometimes. So today is her experience on how our interviews can kind of go crazy.
That is true.
Well, you guys got a good one on your team there, that's for sure.
I got to tell you, Dom, I'm very impressed with the way you flipped the script on that, by the way, because Heather was all not for it, and you brought her back.
I could never get mad. I can't get mad at
well,
Dom.
Well played, sir.
I have a history of doing that type of thing and kind of talking them off ledges, so that's
very,
kind of
very
my
well,
thing.
Well
you guys
done.
Help.
Excellent, excellent. So, well, before we get to talking about this Thursday, I know Greg knows about it, but I'm not sure how many of our listeners do. Can you talk to us about what happened at the last Slam U show in August, featuring Gabriel Gallo and the Almighty Sheik in a body bag match?
Yeah, the August show was actually Slam U's only their second show ever, and they had a return match, Gabriel Gallo and the Almighty Sheik, in a body bag match where the winner obviously had to zip up their opponent completely in a body bag. And my partner, my tag team partner, Gabriel Gallo, he had the Sheik right where he wanted him. He's ready to finish him off. He took out his manager to kind of get him out of the way, and then when he went back to seal up the body bag, next thing you know, enormous fireball right in the Gallo's face, and then he took one of the more hard chair shots to the cranium that I've seen in a while, and so she kind of got by to the skin of his teeth once again and pulled the wool over on him, that's for sure.
You know, never – the managers are bad news. You know, they get there, they can pull you off very, very, very out-focused, so that's unfortunate. So – Now, from what I understand, the Sheik laid down some sort of an open challenge. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, essentially, you know, their last match was the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, you know, technically he was victorious again, and as much as, you know, bullcrap as a result that match it was, Gallo can't get his hands on him again. So he's decided to brag and boast about what he did, and, you know, he's untouchable, he's this, he's that, and he wanted to put an open challenge out, essentially just basically saying that he had an open contract just to wrestle anybody that he wants to wrestle besides Gallo. Well, kind of like a brainstorm between myself and Gallo, we decided, okay, well, you can't get your hands on him, but there's nothing that says that I can't get my hands on him. So that was kind of our brainchild, kind of paint him into a corner, let me get in the ring with him, let me see what I can do with him. And I understand how dangerous the man is. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him burn my best friend. I've seen him leave my best friend a bloody mess. And I know that's a possibility of happening to me, but it's worth the risk to me to help out a friend, and more so a friend and family. I consider Gallo a brother, so it's the least I can do to try to get in there and do my part and try to get my hands on him. And, if, you know, if it works out for us, if he's laying out at the end of the match, there's no one that says that Gallo can't do anything after the bell rings.
So needless to say, it doesn't sound like it was a very long time before that was laid out and for you to step up.
Yeah, essentially, he came out with this video message not too long after the last show, you know, just kind of tooting his own horn, so to speak. And we didn't really take, a good liking to what we saw. So we just kind of got together and like, okay, how can we shut this guy up? How can we, you know, teach him the lesson that he needs? Because, you know, these Slam U shows have been just great, great wrestling shows. You know, there's only been two in so far, but the crowds are unreal that are coming to these shows, and they're really, really into the shows, and the production value is out of this world. And there's just this one dark cloud that's kind of hovering over the whole thing, and that's the almighty Sheik, and this wave of violence that he's bringing to Slam U. Again, I like the violence. I like that it's different than other things. I just don't like that it's at our expense.
All right, so John, you and I both know, as long as, you know, as well as other people who are in the business or know anything about the wrestling business, that when you start a new promotion or you get a promotion going, it's probably one of the hardest things you could possibly think of doing. And especially when you're coming from being a worker to, you know, promoting shows and things like that, the transfer over can be extremely difficult, getting the crowd going, getting people there to the show. But, I mean, if Slam U is extremely important to you, we know that, and we can tell just by hearing you talk about it. So what are we going to expect from Thursday's card and also from the future?
Slam U, like I said, they're doing a lot of great things, and I'm not the promoter per se. I do kind of, you know, help out as best I can for the there's a gentleman named Jerry who actually is the owner of the company, and he had this vision, and he kind of came to me for some ideas as well, and you know, I gave him my 2 cents and what I thought, you know, wrestling was missing, not only out in this area of the country, but all together. And he's been, you know, more than willing to kind of hear out what I have to say and others as well. He's really, really open to kind of changing the landscape of professional wrestling. And that's what he's doing. These wrestling shows that Slam U is putting on, they're not necessarily wrestling shows. They're experiences. And, you know, a lot of the fan base aren't your traditional wrestling fans per se. These are actually just everyday people that might not know, you know, who like a John Cena, everyone knows who John Cena, that's a bad example, but not everyone might know who like a Seth Rollins is or someone like that. And these people are coming to the show expecting to be entertained. So that's what Slam U is giving them. They're promising, you know, the violence, they're promising the high impact, you know, maneuvers and wrestling action that not many other promotions in the country can promise, and so far so good. They've delivered, and these fans are coming back in droves, just you know, chopping at the bit to see what's coming next. And you know, speaking for myself, I know at this next show, my match with the Almighty Sheik, I kind of pride myself on trying to steal every show that I'm on, and I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to steal this show as well, especially with a man like the Almighty Sheik on the other end of the ring with me. I understand what I'm going into. It could be one of the more violent matches that I've been a part of. And a lot of people kind of look at me and they say, well, we don't really know you for being the more violent type or, you know, the blood and guts type of wrestler. And that's the case, but I've been in the ring with some of the most violent men in wrestling, you know, men that have been all over the world and shed blood all over the world, and I don't plan on doing so myself, but I'm going to give it everything I can this Thursday night at the Arizona Event Center. I'm going to leave it all out, and I guarantee that crowd's going to go home happy with what they saw and excited to come back again in October.
Well, that's amazing. It makes me wish I was back in Vegas just so I could head over there and see it. But the thing is, you also need to ensure the safety of yourself and all the performers with you. And, you know, that's not easy in an effect where you're advertising the violence. So, you know, what steps are you going to try to take to make sure that there's no serious injuries and things like that? Because that's a really important thing, and especially with, you know, wrestling being watched the way it is by people who don't like it as much and the whole, you know, PG thing that they're trying to do. Sometimes when you do things that are going to be a little bit more violent than most other places, you might get watched a little bit closer or something controversial such as Hoodland. So, I mean, what steps are you taking or what steps do you want to take to ensure that you guys keep running and keep going, you know, and give everything that the crowd wants to them, but at the same time, you know, keep the wrestlers going for a while?
Well, the thing is, you know, people get, you know, hardcore wrestling, extreme wrestling, these things kind of mixed up. And Slam U, you know, by far is not a hardcore wrestling company per se. And that aspect, there's not blood and guts and weapons and all that type of stuff in every single match. And you know, these things are placed strategically throughout the card. It seems like, you know, they seem to come into play when the time is right. The main thing that I think Slam U is trying to do is just give something to these fans that they're not used to seeing every day or every week. We want these fans to kind of come through the doors, sit down, have a few beers, feel like they're actually part of the show, feel like they're actually appreciated, and give them the experience, you know, of a lifetime. So they can feel that they're more on a personal level with the show itself. A lot of these fans are very vocal, and we like that. You know, they're not afraid to give the other wrestlers, you know, their piece of their mind. If you suck, they're going to let you know that you suck. If you're great and they love you, they're going to let you know that you're great and they love you. They're going to go out of their way to let you know that type of thing. And that's what we're looking for. We want the fans to come in and just say what's on their mind, just like myself or any other wrestler on the card is allowed to do with that empty canvas we call a wrestling ring.
Yeah, and I can say from having been there, it almost reminds me, and I'm not saying this comparison in a negative way, it reminds me of the actual ECW that people fell in love with. That wasn't just extreme wrestling, but it was damn good wrestling. There were extreme elements, but there was also stars that we saw for the first time, like Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho. I mean, that's kind of what the ECW that this reminds me of. But it's not ECW. It's Slam U Pro, and it's definitely sent its own legacy very early on into that. I want to shift gears a little bit and get completely away from that and talk something about you, something that's a big part of your life, and that's kind of being straight edge. Now, of course, CM Punk, famous for being straight edge as his gimmick, but you're not straight edge as a gimmick. In fact, that rarely ever comes into play when you're out there, but you are in real life. In wrestling, which can honestly be, you've been in locker rooms, a world full of drugs and alcohol. How do you maintain that when there's just so much around all the time?
It's definitely an interesting atmosphere to kind of be around at times. You know, some locker rooms more than others, you kind of see that thing floating around. I try to distance myself from most promotions if I do see heavy, you know, drug or alcohol usage, especially before a show. I mean, this is just for everyone's safety. But I'm lucky enough to kind of be around a good group of guys that take professional wrestling seriously. And if they're going to partake in whatever it is that they partake in, they partake after they actually do their job in the ring. For, you know, personally, for me, it's not a struggle to be around things like that. I'm around that type of thing quite a bit. One of the things that I enjoy doing with my life outside the ring is actually helping people that do have substance abuse problems or anything like that, addiction problems, and trying to help them and into a life of recovery, if at all possible. I'm always willing to help others if they need it, but I never walk through a locker room and try to tell someone how they should or shouldn't live their life. So, I have friends in this business that, could be considered drug addicts. They could be considered alcoholics, but they're friends of mine. And I love them regardless. I might not necessarily agree with the way they're damaging their body or what they're doing to themselves, but I'm there to support them if they do need my help. So it is kind of strange being around that type of thing, so often in wrestling. But I find for myself, I'm not exposed to it as much as others are, I think. And I think the more success that you have in this business, there's more of a chance of you kind of falling into that category of abuse, so to speak. But I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by a good group of guys, and we just kind of stick to our own business and do our own thing, and whatever anyone else is going to do, that's their prerogative, and I'm just going to do what I do best, and that's, stay drug-free, alcohol-free, and just wrestle my ass off.
You think knowing a guy for 6 years, you would know the answer to this question, but I don't. So I will ask it, and I apologize for putting you on the spot. Has it been something that, for you as a child, did you go through a recovery, or did you go through a little bit and make that decision for yourself? How'd you get to that point?
For me, I haven't been straight edge my whole life. I've actually, I had a really bad drinking problem throughout my early 20s. It, to the point where I got, really out of control, and I realized that I needed some help and I needed to change my life because things weren't going the way that I had hoped. And I'm not shy about talking about my past or anything like that at all. I feel like if I can share my past and my struggles, it can hopefully help someone else out. So I went to, whatever lengths it took to get myself sober, and I discovered, the straight edge lifestyle, and I started applying these principles to my everyday life. And once I started doing that wholeheartedly, my life changed for the better, like instantly, and I never looked back.
Nice, that's awesome.
I'm proud
I appreciate
of you for
you.
That. Sorry, I just wanted to say I'm proud of you for that.
Go for it. Excellent. Well, we appreciate you sharing that. And sorry, Heather's proud of you. She wanted to make sure you knew.
I'm proud of you for that, Dom.
Thank you, Heather.
So, and she knows the world, and we all do as well. And I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners and the fact that they can hear. And we've heard stories like that before, and it's good to hear in the sense of the outcome and the fact that you're there. And I love when we hear people that want to give back and help others. If someone's not, hearing you and they're like, who's this Dom guy? We're not familiar because we live on the East Coast or whatever. How can they find you on Twitter, Facebook? What's the best way for our listeners to connect with Dom Vitale?
I'm most interactive on Twitter. I can be found at Dom L Bomb. That's Tom E L Bomb. I'm more than willing to talk to anybody on there. I've talked to quite a few people over Twitter, just to kind of simple questions about living straight edge and similar question to what you asked, Greg, about being in this business around the temptation, so to speak. And living a sober life. So if anybody has any questions about that, please feel free just to reach out to me there. Or I'm on Facebook, Dom Vitale. Feel free to friend request me. I love talking to fans on there and, sharing my experiences in the wrestling world and outside the wrestling world as well.
Excellent. And, of course, it's this Thursday night, Slam U Pro, at Slam U Pro on Twitter. You can find them on Facebook, and you can go to Arizona Event Center. Is it Arizona Event Center or AZ Event Center? I suddenly drew a blank there. I'm going to find out.
Yeah,
make sure you let everybody know.
ArizonaEventCenter.com.
There you go, ArizonaEventCenter.com. Get more information this Thursday night. They've got VIP tickets, general admission tickets, whatever you want. But definitely get there because the last few shows have actually been pretty well packed, as I can say from people can say their shows are packed. I've seen it and know for a fact that they have been packed. So good luck this weekend with the Sheik. But again, when you're dealing with people who are damn near family, maybe we should be wishing the Sheik the best of luck, despite his reputation, Dom. So look forward to hearing more great things from me in the future.
Greg, I thank you for having me on the show. been a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Patrick, thank you as well. And Heather, it was good talking to you. You take care over there.
You too. Be safe. Talk to you soon.
Good night, man.
Thanks.
There we go, Dom Vitale. It's so funny because he used to be Dom the Bomb Vitale, which is where that Twitter handle comes from, and he no longer is Dom the Bomb. And it's so hard to not call him that, as that's what he was for years for me. So you know what we might do now? We might talk about some wrestling.
Wow.
We do that.
We occasionally, like I told you, I warned you guys when I sent over the rundown, this could be one of those shows, as Patrick O'Dowd with, you know, over 2.5 years
I just assume intent. When there's more than two guests on the show, I just assume wrestling will be at a minimum for my time on the show. Like I just,
It happens. It definitely happens. So I do want to talk some wrestling, and for you listeners, you know, we'll see how you feel about it. It's TNA too, because in case you actually, you know what, back up. No, we're not going to talk TNA just yet because we have something new to debut on the program, and I don't want to have another Patrick O'Dowd contribution that doesn't happen. So because that happens on this program, unfortunately. And I'm not doing it to Patrick O'Dowd just because I can. It does happen, though. And we are debuting, and we don't even have the soundbite for you, but we will. It is the Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd's, I guess we can call it BIRW, Bullshit Internet Report of the Week. So
that's right.
O'Dowd, take it away.
Sure. So earlier this week, and if you blinked, you might have missed it, but there was a report that came out from our good friend. It came out from Dave Meltzer. I guess friend may not be the best word. Basically, saying that the current angle in the WWE involving Daniel Bryan taking on Triple H and Randy Orton wasn't originally supposed to be Daniel Bryan in the face role, that originally the angle was intended for John Cena. And maybe this is my own refusal to believe. Like I think this is a great example of something that you could put out there as plausible, but no way provable. And when you look at John Cena's character and who he is and what they're selling about this angle, I have no idea how you would put Daniel Bryan in a role, or I'm not sorry, John Cena in a role where you're like, you're not the corporate guy. Like it makes absolutely no sense. And so I'm calling bullshit. I think that I don't buy that was really a plan. So that this week is your bullshit internet report of the week.
Of the week. Heather, could you imagine this angle storyline with John Cena as in that role?
Haven't we already done something very similar to that before him always getting beat down and getting his ass kicked even though he's the champ and then they don't want him the champ? So I swear I've seen it before. Over and over again over the past like 11 years that he's been a WWE.
Possibly. I have to think back because I forget so much.
Not necessarily the exact same way, but there's been, you know, where like Vicky hates him and doesn't want him to be the champ or would send people after him and stuff like that. So it's pretty much the same thing, just with different characters.
Yeah, and I think that's the other, you know, it's time to get rid of authority figures, or at least, like, can we limit it down to one? Like, I actually don't mind the Triple H angle, but, that seems to be one of the driving storylines that does run with the authority figure is heel authority figure doesn't like face champion, does everything that he can or she can to get the belt off of face champion.
I don't think people can do it. I don't think people can go without the authority figure. Like ever since the general managers were introduced, and of course we had authority figures in wrestling before, but ever since the general managers were put into place in the WWE, they have become a storyline crutch for well over a decade at this point.
I was gonna say because Jack Tunney didn't go around being like, I don't like Hulk Hogan. Jack Tunney sat behind a desk and announced a world title tournament. and like suspended Mr. Perfect once or something.
Oh yeah, they only busted out Jack 20 when they needed to.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I almost thought that the anonymous Raw general manager at one point could have signified sort of the end of this, and unfortunately it didn't. Because I loved, as you know, I loved the anonymous Raw general manager because it was almost like a parody of the authority figure. But it's not going anywhere. And I would just love to see one of these promotions. Even our beloved Ring of Honor from today has a matchmaker on camera in Nigel McGuinness. So I just really wish we could just try to book without it. I almost dare you to try to book without it is what I'm saying. I guess the indies, you know, PWG, Evolved, some of them, they don't use it. But for a televised wrestling promotion, I want to see you do it without the authority figure.
You know, for a while, and I know we're going to get into this in a minute. For a while, there was a period where TNA didn't really have, like, an authority figure. Like, Dixie Carter owned the company, and that was about all you knew. Like, you didn't, like, she really wasn't a big visible part of the company for a while. And they used to have, I remember this, there was like a board or something that was just sort of a background backstage sort of group, but it wasn't really, again, you didn't really have like somebody out there every week sort of running down the show like you do in every wrestling program ever now.
True. No, I can definitely agree with that. But again, they just went, they go to it so fast, and it is painful. But I want to get back to what you were saying earlier about the internet report itself. It's funny too, because the website that I saw that first reported it actually put in the headline speculation about Daniel Bryan. Like, I appreciated the fact that a wrestling report actually termed it as speculation, because as you know, my belief is that they, of course, turn their own speculation into news. And when I say they, I mean Dave Meltzer. So that's that's where we are. Heather, we've never really talked about Meltzer. You don't have like some relationship with Dave Meltzer that we need to know about, and we're not getting you in trouble, are we?
No, I don't really talk to Dave Meltzer earlier, and I've never talked to him. I used to read his stuff a long time ago, but I can find better information on the dirt sheet.
Well, he
yeah, more accurate
to
as well.
To his credit, he did sort of invent what we do.
He did. I'll give him credit for that.
He did.
He was one of the first ones to, you know, come out and do the show and give all the backstage stuff. But when he started, I don't know if it was, you know, people from Feds talking to him or whatever, and it just got, it was the same old thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much repeat what everybody else is saying.
He does. He does, and then he turns his own stuff into news, and you know, it is what it is, so to speak. I know I hate using that phrase, but it's the damn truth, and it's what we have to go on. So we're going to talk some TNA right now. Patrick O'Dowd, we'll keep that one, Patrick O'Dowd, by the way. We'll keep doing that. I like that.
Excellent.
As you know,
it's a quick segment, not tough.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. As you guys know, this past Thursday, TNA had AJ Styles come out, cut his second quote-unquote pipe bomb, this time completely singling out Dixie Carter. And of course, Dixie came back out, where AJ said the internet was wrong, he has no contract, which we probably don't believe, said he's going to win the TNA World Championship, and then he said he was going to, quote, make Dixie Carter, quote, get on her knees and make her pay. Which may not have been the best choice of words for him to use. This, of course, turned Dixie heel, claiming that she and her daddy's money, her words, made AJ, and called him an above-average fish in any pond. Thoughts about the angle itself and kind of where they're taking us with all this stuff.
That was
first. See, I didn't do it on purpose. We'll go with Heather since you first spoke up.
Are we talking about WWE, what just happened with Stephanie McMahon? Oh, no, Dixie, sorry. Same difference. I don't like that they're pretty much doing the same exact angle. It's kind of stupid. It makes them look really lame, and it makes them look like they're not creative, and they have no original ideas. Dixie turning heel? No. She really doesn't even have a point on the show, I'm sorry. And
it's part of the reason I don't really keep up with TNA, because it's just, it's not believable. The acting is not believable, and the storylines are not believable. And the sad thing is they actually have really good talent. They have some really great wrestlers on there. But what they do to them, it's painful to watch. It's painful to watch when you have guys like Kenny King and you have guys like Kazarian and Austin Aries and Chris Daniels and Bobby Roode, and you're focusing on Dixie. I mean, yeah, I'm sure, you know, she got some of the money in there to run the damn thing, but that doesn't mean it's not TNA with Dixie. It's supposed to be total nonstop action, which in my eyes would be wrestling, not watching this other crap that they put on there. It's frustrating to see that, yeah, let's bring in some UFC guys. Let's use our money on them and not pay the guys who deserve it. Let's have a masked wrestler who takes his mask off every 5 minutes. Let's have Hogan, who has really no point in being on there. And let's not use anybody that we have that's actually worth a damn. And then these guys get disgruntled and they want to leave. And it makes them, you know, and a company like WWE, sometimes they look at them and they're like, they were with TNA. They probably, you know, they're not going to bring us anything because TNA doesn't really prepare them for anything else. So I just don't see the point of her turning heel and putting it, you know, all on her and trying to do the whole, oh, AJ, you're, and seriously, AJ, what did she say? You're just a small fish in a pond?
I think she said slightly above average fish in any pond.
That sounds to me like she's calling him a B+.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. And so that's how I feel about that.
Wrestling realist, how about you?
Okay, and I'm almost scared to talk right now. First of all, I want to say that the delivery of this angle was not good, and I want to get that out of the way very, very quickly. That as I'm about to try and defend this a little bit, I'm going to acknowledge that what we saw on television in terms of the execution was not good. I actually think if you look at the content of, in particular, what AJ said has said the last 2 weeks, like if he were a better talker and could deliver a better promo, that we'd probably be a bit more excited. If reports are to be believed, and you know, it's funny that I'm saying this right after doing a bullshit internet reporting segment. This is to lead a new direction in what's going to happen with TNA's product moving forward. We'll wait and see if this is, you know, just lip service or more, you know, and is really just more of the same. I think that when I first watched the promos and watched the last, 8 minutes of the show, I felt like there was some potential there, because I think that the writing on the wall is there for what's going to happen after Bound for Glory, which is what they're setting up right now. And so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out and see where it goes. But when people go on and on about TNA ripping off the WWE, I've talked about this before on this show and with you, Greg, and I agree. Yes, the angles are similar. They're absolutely, you know, playing off of what's been done already. The WWE's done it to TNA frequently, and they get a pass, or it's okay. They literally took the beautiful people and put them on WWE television, and nobody blinked twice about it at all. And it was okay, because it's the WWE. And so for me, the thing about wrestling that for me is a little bit endearing when I watch it, is that there is some familiarity and that everybody steals from everybody. Nobody's completely creative anymore. Nobody's completely unique. I think if anybody's going to share the gripe about what we all bitch about outside of TNA, about where their talent is going and where they put their money, AJ Styles is probably the best guy to have do that. In terms of if you could pick a name. Unfortunately, he doesn't talk very well. You know, he's he's actually, it feels like, regressed a little bit, and I don't know where that's happened or why. And I think that's what really hurts us. I think if you had had two people that could actually pull it off, we'd be a little bit more okay with it, because we know it's, yeah, Dixie's going to be the one who apparently is going to feud, but that somebody's going to have to represent her, and who's that going to be? I mean, we don't know that answer yet. We're not sure. So I don't love it, because it does feel familiar. I'm not as incensed about it, or, you know, feel like it's a cut rate thing, because it's not the first time that one company's done something that the other one's done, even in close proximity to each other when it's come to angles. I just think that the people, they're relying on people who can't talk right now to talk, and that is not doing the angle any help at all.
Exactly. You can't steal what CM Punk did and make someone who talks as poorly as AJ Styles do it.
Exactly.
Like, that's a big part of the problem that I have. Like, if you're going to rip it off, like, okay, Lay Cool didn't do a bad Beautiful People impersonation. Like that, and, you know, they personalized it a little bit. They still were a pretty big ripoff of the Beautiful People. But and you know why the WWE gets away with it as well, is because not everyone who watches WWE watches TNA. 95% of people that watch TNA also watch WWE. So
yeah.
It's going to be blatantly obvious. But they're not just ripping off storylines from the WWE. They're ripping off one of the biggest angles of the past few years. Two of the biggest angles of the past few years in professional wrestling. And that's all TNA has done. They tried to recreate the NWO time and time again with the Main Event Mafia. Remember, the Main Event Mafia was a huge heel faction before it was this recent weird incarnation of faces. And of course, Aces and Eights. And it's just, you know, I almost want them to be like, come up with something original. And I know it's hard to do this day in professional wrestling. I will say this, Patrick O'Dowd, since I know you're a big fan of the Ego faction, as am I. You know, hey, maybe after Bound for Glory, we get Bobby Roode, the face of TNA. And you know, that might not be all that bad. And maybe we can put Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, and hell, let's just throw in Kenny King to make Heather happy. Maybe we can put them in some black cargo pants and some flak jackets and have them running around protecting Dixie. Because basically, right now, who else is she going to align with besides Ego? She can't align with Aces and Eights. If she aligns with Aces and Eights, that would just be way beyond my ability to suspend disbelief. And you know, I probably have a bigger ability than most. But
you've clearly already given up on it at this point, man.
You're right. I have preemptively given up on it because it was that bad.
Yeah, and my only response, like, the angle itself is 2 weeks old. I'm gonna watch anyway because it's my job. Like, I, you know, like, I have to. Like, it's part of what we do for this show. I'm not saying this is going to be good. I don't know that it's going to be good. I think it's a poorly executed, decent idea. It's a B+. How's that?
I can't even say it's a poorly executed. For me, it's a poorly executed bad idea. I want to call it a decent idea, but I can't. I just can't bring myself to do it. I wanted to, but I just can't do it.
I think if AJ would have stayed in sort of angry, depressed AJ, that would have at least made more sense. But when they had that big moment where we hit get ready to fly again and all that, I'm serious. Like,
oh, I know.
Like, you went from guy with a gripe and all these problems to, hey, I'm good again, and now he's like got a gripe again. Like, that also, you have a character arc and you completely, well, you didn't completely,
yep,
180 it. And now you're trying to, like, keep that 180 and maybe pivot it another, you know, quarter turn. And it's not going to work.
And Heather, and I know you don't...
hard to work.
I know you don't follow TNA quite as closely as we do, and I think no one can blame you at this point, but any concern about the fact that Bully Ray, during the last episode of Impact Wrestling, never once said the words AJ Styles, and AJ Styles never once said the words Bully Ray, and they're supposed to be feuding in the main event of Bound for Glory.
I just read it up to another clusterfuck of them writing. I don't know if they're doing it just to kind of say, hey, he's not important enough for me to say his name.
or if they forgot who they're feuding with, which I wouldn't put it past anybody these days. But it's concerning because the whole point of you feuding with somebody is to get that opponent over as somebody you're going to wrestle and that you can't defend. And if you're not even going to say their name, well, then why don't you just throw in generic wrestler A and generic wrestler B and you'll be good. Save some money.
Yeah, that's what concerns me as we head into the main event. Real quick before we get cut off and go into the overrun time, next week on the Greg DeMarco Show, DeMarquette, Nikki St. John will be joining the program, and we're also working with AIW to bring in a guest for Girls Night Out. So watch out for that, and watch the social media as we'll get all that out there as well. But we will continue the conversation, and of course, if you get cut off, listen to the archive and hear the amazing things that we have to talk about during the overrun. Do want to get another opinion on this matter as well. Have not imported over the theme song to this network. However, please welcome good friend of the program, great analyst of professional wrestling, and somebody who especially is always around for us with the big events and now has lowered himself talking about TNA, our good friend Steve Cook. Steve, welcome back.
Hello, Greg, Patrick, Heather, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good. Yeah, TNA. You know, I've talked a lot about TNA over the years, actually. I started off talking about TNA back in the day on the 411 website. That's why I started off talking about, and I've watched more of it than I care to admit. I've missed a lot of it lately because I've been busy doing other stuff, but I've been, you know, kind of getting back into things, trying to see what's going on. And I watched the segment with Dixie and AJ, and I didn't like it at all. I thought it was horrible. I thought, you know, Greg, you said on the internet it's like a Saturday Night Live sketch of WWE. I kind of agreed with that. But I don't know, it's kind of weird because I've talked to some other people off the internet and whatnot outside and real life, and they didn't hate it. They didn't think it was bad. They didn't think it was completely awful. So maybe there's something there. I don't know, but I was surprised.
I gotta wonder, and this could also be part of, yeah, I think you said something really astute there, Steve, in terms of who we've got commenting on this right now. Like, it's the same thing when we talk about anything that we analyze, like our view is colored in a way that maybe Joe fan isn't. I never like to give up on any sort of angle 2 weeks in, which is why I won't go as far as Greg has gone so far. I hope that it works for them. I do.
Well, you got.
Yeah, I hope it works for them too. Yeah, I hope it works for them too. And you're right. Like, that's, I'm usually like, hey, give it time, and it for some reason. And I was surprised too. There were some comments. I know there were some comment sections, and I saw where people were actually praising, saying that Dixie was the best part of it. And I'm like, maybe look, and I'm probably jaded. I'll be honest with you. Like, I am probably not the best person to analyze at this point because of my public hatred of Dixie Carter.
Well, yeah, your public hatred of Dixie Carter and your argument for potential that I think you feel is always being wasted.
Still being wasted, by the way. As Heather pointed out, like, this amazing roster, and they're not doing anything with it.
I think that's what makes me not even bother, because I am jaded about that. I'm jaded about the fact that what they do with some of the guys that they do have, some of the guys they don't pick up, some of the guys they pick up and then they drop. Then they treat like crap, and then they pick up MMA fighters who don't know how to wrestle. I'm jaded by that. That's why I don't really, you know, pay attention to TNA and stuff. And I mean, once in a while I'll try to, okay, maybe let's see, I'll see what I can do. And I'll watch a match, and I'm like, oh, the matches aren't bad. And then once they get to the 15 minutes of promos before they even start a match, it's like, never mind, turn the shit off. So that's just how it works. I mean, it's not so much. Maybe it was a good thing, maybe it wasn't, but in my eyes, I'd rather see the wrestling back, like when it used to be on pay-per-view, you know, way back in the day when it first started, than see what I see now.
Going back to the day of the Johnsons, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good old girls dancing in cages and shit.
I like that. Nah, it's all about that lollipop, yes. Good time.
Lollipop. That is,
wow,
that's awesome.
That is jumping the back machine. So real quick question, because I think this is pertinent. With, you know, we were talking about all the, like Heather brought up, you know, who stays, who goes. There, the rumor floating around that we're not sure how much longer Hogan is for being with TNA. God only knows about Bischoff. Who do you think is creatively driving the company, really?
Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
I think being in his position does head up creative. I know Dave Lagana is there as well. I think they're the two that are, look, I used to sing the praises of Dave Lagana, and ever since Bruce Pritchard left, I've been proven wrong. Big time. Like, I was a huge fan of his and was like, give Lagana the book and it'll all be better. It's not better. It's worse. And, yeah, I do think it's Eric Bischoff. Look, I think Eric Bischoff came up with Aces and Eights. What's his most successful thing he's ever done? The NWO. And he stole that from Japan. Like, I'm shocked he's not the leader and president of Aces and Eights. I really am. And I guess I can give him credit for that. But, yeah, I think it's those two who are heading up the most. I don't know. I go back and forth on how much creative power Hogan has, because I think he would need to care more to have creative power. I don't think he even gives a crap about TNA.
I don't think it makes a difference who has the book, to be honest with you. It doesn't matter. It's going to be the same product, whether, you know, whether it's Vince Russo. Hell, I thought Vince Russo had the book based on this week's show. I was watching that segment. I thought, oh, they brought Russo back. You know, it's the same thing. No matter who's writing it, you got to keep certain people happy. That's one of the things about being, you know, corporate wrestling and whatnot. Even the WWE writers, they always got to keep Vince happy, right? You always got to keep the boss, you know, happy doing what they're doing. And I guess now the way to keep Dixie happy is to get her involved and make her a heel. That seems to be what she wants to do now. So, whatever.
And I get why they do that. It's like, okay, this is what, you know, they're trying to gauge the fans. We're all bitching about Dixie, so let's use that. Let's capitalize on it. And I think there are times when you should capitalize on what's going on, but then I think there are also times when you should take what's going on and get rid of it. And to me, it's like the type of hatred Dixie was getting, I think you put her away and don't bring her on TV. And then maybe they proved me wrong. I don't know. But I just can't help but think that it's the wrong way to go.
So the hatred thing, though, is that really from the on-air product, or is that from some of the stupid, misguided things that she was doing with, like, Ask Dixie on Twitter, or the way, like, you know, I wonder, like, you're talking about her on air. She was really nothing particularly interesting. She was, for lack of a better way to describe it, she was Miss Elizabeth with lines every once in a while. Like, look worried and say, I'm scared, and then that's that. Like, that was kind of it. But then she started doing this Ask Dixie thing. She didn't respond to anything meaningful. She sounded clueless. She sounded like, you know, just completely disconnected because whoever was handling her wouldn't let her answer anything. And I think that thing, again, I think that colors. I think it is a whole picture, Greg, but I think that clearly colors. Then, like, we see her on TV doing this, and it's like, oh, geez, here's this, you know, so on and so forth. It's just awful. I mean, there's been plenty of authority folks. Stephanie McMahon, when she first started on WWE television, was bad, was really bad. And I think we're okay with her now.
I still get emails complaining about her.
Well, I'm not saying everybody's okay with her, but, like, I hate this because I feel like I'm defending something that I'm not particularly in love with. I'm just not ready to, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater completely. I guess maybe it's the eternal optimist. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. And so I want to give it a shot. It's been 2 weeks.
So I'll bring it back to a very important thing that's coming up for TNA, and that's Bound for Glory.
Sure.
You kind of indicated, and I kind of agree, that a lot of this may take place after Bound for Glory. Are we kind of almost looking past our signature event of the year in TNA? Like, are we sort of saying, let's just get through Bound for Glory so we can do what we really want to do?
I absolutely think that, actually. I and it's bad. I think it's a terrible decision. I think that they've always sold Bound for Glory as their WrestleMania, while they won't say it like that. But it to me, it's very clear that we're I think they're setting something up for the main. Like, I think that people are going to crap all over the main event because I think something goofy is going to happen to mess with that. I don't know that AJ walks out with the belt. That's for sure. But I think they're absolutely, they're laying their foundation for the year after Bound for Glory, or the months after Bound for Glory. And that you're right, Greg, like that match, it sure didn't feel like it was happening at Bound for Glory, did it?
No, I felt like Billy Ray was going to wrestle Nux at Bound for Glory.
Exactly.
And
yep.
AJ was going to wrestle, I don't know, Dixie Carter? I have no idea.
He was going to wrestle Surge.
Oh, God. I would, Surge did punch him in the face. Like,
there you go. There's heat.
I'll be honest. That's the problem. I really wish the whole Claire Lynch thing would have led to an AJ-Dixie affair. Then I would have cared. Then it would be different. Then at least it wouldn't be as much the same as what we're seeing right now. Like, I would have been better with that than what we have.
Maya did. That's why she's so pissed off at him. You know, Maya's actually been going on the whole time. They managed to keep it a secret somehow. And now AJ, like, left her during that whole lone wolf thing he's doing, and now she's pissed off.
You know, we talk about the comparisons with TNA and WWE. One thing I will say, notice how AJ Styles could not mention or did not mention the names Eric Bischoff or Hulk Hogan. And I don't know if he wasn't allowed to, if he was told to keep this whole thing on Dixie. But if you're going for the CM Punk pipe bomb, go for the CM Punk pipe bomb. Like let it all out, AJ. Let it all out. Because I'll be honest with you, if you're not going to let him let it all out, then I'm not as excited about the autumn of AJ as I was the summer of Punk in any way.
The autumn of AJ.
That was
wow. Well, the fall of AJ would have sounded like a WWE-produced DVD, so I had to go with the autumn of AJ right there. So
yeah,
came up with that.
That could be the last couple of years for him, honestly, the fall of AJ.
Yeah, and some of that's not his fault. But
Dixie did have some points there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, he's had good matches. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't say he hasn't had any good matches. We've witnessed some, even live. So I can't. You know, they stole the show at Bound for Glory last year in the tag title match. So
yeah,
Heather, can TNA do anything to make you want to see Bound for Glory at this point?
The pay-per-view? No, absolutely not. I will say, when I was trying to wait for the Dixie thing the other night when it was on, I did catch the, what was it, AJ and Austin Aries, was that the match?
Yep.
Okay, that actually was a fantastic match, but I love Austin Aries. So, if I could see matches like that without the Dixie-type thing, I'd watch. If I watched Bound for Glory, it would be if I'm at someone's house, or when is it, this coming Sunday?
No, we got to do it. In fact, Battleground will take place before Bound for Glory does. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I'll be in Miami area Sunday, but I don't know. It would take quite a bit for me to regularly start watching them again, because I tried and I've given, you know, my interest in it, and I've put my heart into some of it when I see, like, you know, people that I love wrestle, and then it's like, again, failure. And, you know, once you get let down several times, it's kind of hard to get back up. And I just don't even know if I want to anymore. I mean, it would take quite a bit. It would take something really special. And they're not doing the special, anything special that I want to see.
Patrick, I know you're saying you watch it because you have to, and it's something that I appreciate. When was the last time TNA reminded us that AJ Styles lost the opportunity to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship?
It's been a long time. And in fact, it's actually interesting that it hasn't been brought up. It may come up soon.
Wouldn't it have made sense? Like, that's the whole reason he should have wanted to win the Battle for Glory series.
Yeah.
Was because
well,
that's the only way he could get a title shot.
I agree. But again, if you're gonna point to a wrestling show for continuity, it's continuity when it's convenient, and you know that. I'm still waiting for Sting to get another title shot, to be honest. But anyway, you know, yeah, it's been.
So was Hogan apparently when he gave him one on TV, and Tina had to backtrack.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is painful. So wonderful. Well, Steve, we appreciate you coming on, and maybe you can come in and do the Battle for Glory preview with us. Although we probably are better off using you for a different one, like a WWE one.
Well, we'll see what I can watch the next few weeks. I'm getting back in the whole wrestling thing, just watching stuff here and there. Maybe doing some stuff again, actually written-wise. We'll see. I mean, you know how I am. I get motivated, and then I don't.
We all get that way. Of course, at Ocho Sports on the Twitter, and how can they hear your podcast?
Oh, me and Trent Howell do the Ocho Fantasy Football Podcast every week on offtheteam.com. We've been doing it on Wednesday nights. It's usually posted sometime on Thursday. So check that out for all your fantasy football needs. And hopefully we can help you out, because I don't think we've been helping ourselves very much this year. It's been kind of a rough year for both of us so far.
It's been a rough year for a lot of
freaking two of my players got freaking injured, screwed me on fantasy this game.
Ooh.
You had Ray Rice too?
I had in who did it? Starks. Because I had Ben Jarvis Green, and you know, he was horrible. It was like not playing well. So I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up Starks, right? 100-yard rusher. No, gets hurt.
Yeah, he went down.
And then Jermichael Finley gone. No point.
Ooh, that one hurt me, and it's tough too, because I'm a Bengals fan. And, of course, you know, of course, there's room for the Bengals, but at the same time, I have Aaron Rodgers on a bunch of teams and Jermichael Finley on a team or two. So it was like, ooh, you know, at least the Bengals won.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had lost and Aaron Rodgers sucked, I would have not been very happy.
How many leagues are you in?
Drew Brees got the point, so.
I'm in 7 leagues, Greg. That's a ton of fantasy football leagues. You know, all sorts of different roles. We have a divisional league. We have a couple auction leagues, you know, a couple regular leagues. I have a league with my friends, I actually do. So just, it's crazy stuff. It's very tough to keep track of. That's a fun time. Definitely keeps things interesting.
Wow. The most I ever did was 4, and I wanted to kill myself. So, yeah. Yeah, that's, I can only imagine. Excellent, Steve. So listen to the Ocho Sports Show, offtheteam.com, Steve, and we'll look forward to bringing you back maybe for the Battle for Glory preview, maybe for something else. But we'll definitely bring you back, as we always do.
Enjoy a good show tonight, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
There we go, Steve Cook. Let's sew this thing up properly.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Patrick O'Dowd.
So, among all the reports that came out in the wrestling world this past week, there was a passing that I think some people probably read about and were like, who? And that was Frenchie Bernard. For those of you who don't know, Frenchie Bernard was a guy who's been heavily involved in wrestling for years and years and years and years. He's been a wrestler, a manager. He's worked for numerous territories, and he did work in the WWE for a time. But he's most known for being a close friend and confidant of Andre the Giant, and was also the guy who managed Andre's career. He passed away this past week at the age of 77, and it was, you know, it's one of those things when you look at people who are that tied to a pretty significant part of history, and knowing that he helped direct Andre's career, it makes you wonder, you know, where would we be without someone like him in wrestling, and where would Andre, you know, Andre probably was going to be famous no matter what, but apparently this guy helped steer him quite a bit. So, just, you know, thoughts and condolences out to the family, because we lost another member this week.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
I know you're new to this part, Heather. Were you ready with a quick hit?
Just want to say that I hope WWE gets a faster build-up for Battleground, because
I get where they're going with a lot of the stuff, but it just looks like it's going to be a rehash of the last pay-per-view. If they can expand a little bit more on what they're doing, maybe hopefully on Raw we can see something, you know, that'll kind of further the pay-per-view. And also the, you know, what's going to go with the Rhodes family and where are we going to go with that? And it was great seeing Dusty, but it was horrible seeing him disrespected like that. And I understand that it was an angle and everything, but it's just hard to see when you've been a fan as long as I have and other people have. So I look forward to seeing what they're doing with that and, you know, seeing what they're going to be doing as far as establishing the pay-per-view a lot more.
And that, fans, was your Raw preview for the week as well. Happiness and well wishes go out to friend of the program, great wrestler, Guy Patrick Dowd, and I were lucky enough to meet over the summer. Tommaso Ciampa got married today, in fact, and of course, Greg DeMarco show guests. We had them on together, and of course, DeMarquette Cherry Bomb and Pepper Parks got married yesterday. So a lot of nuptials out there. Congratulations to everybody and many lifelong well wishes, and hopefully things go well for you guys in the future. So I think we have a good song to finish up the program since Heather's on with us. Good stuff this week. Heather didn't just have her first ever guest. She had like her first three ever guests, Patrick O'Dowd.
Nice. That's true. Busy night.
Yeah. Baptism by fire, Heather. How'd you feel about it?
Oh, I loved it. It was great. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was a little...
Awesome.
Out of it for a minute because I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what to say. And then you always, you know, mistalk over everybody, so I didn't want to...
That's what we do. That is definitely how we do it on this program. So, of course, October 13th, Heather, who's coming on the show?
Mr. Bradley Pierce.
That's right.
Little brother, and he's a pretty good wrestler in his own right, author, and funny guy. And then
that's right.
A special guest coming that as soon as I get confirmed, we can announce.
That's right. There's more coming. There is more coming. And, of course, next week we do have DeMarquette, Nikki St. John, on the show. Much thanks goes out to Powerhouse Pro Wrestling, PWP Radio, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Keep listening. Lots of fun coming up. Patrick O'Dowd, anything for the people before we call it a show?
No, man. Good show tonight. A lot of fun interviews. Keep listening.
That's right. Next week, less interviews and more of us talking about wrestling. Hopefully, everyone's okay with that because that's what we're going to do. So, awesome. Great job today, everybody, and we will do it again next week.
Bye. It's time to get off.
Marco, I love you.